And Revelation 13, we've looked at the first verse. I had planned to get through more of these verses by now, but Revelation 13, notice verses 1 through 10. While you're turning there, let me remind you of what I mentioned last week by way of example. The U.S. Park Service says that the key symbol on the Lincoln Memorial and throughout Washington, D.C. is what? The fasces, right? Or fasces, I've heard it said both ways, but F-A-S-C-E-S. And I took some time to look that up just by way of review here, but I looked it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary. It has this definition. In Roman antiquity, an axe tied with a bundle of rods and borne before the Roman magistrates as a badge of their authority. That was the symbol, the official symbol of the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. In other words, if you disturb the peace by resisting anything the government stood for, then you had the axe used on you. That's the axe used for executions. And then the rods, if you ever heard of the terminology of the rule, the rod of iron, that's also the rule as far as Pax Romana. So what does that mean when we are using that in our government in various places, not just the Lincoln Memorial? We're using that symbol in various places in our government. That tells us that we now have a Pax Americana. America is a part of the beast. And what I want to look at today here is the worship of the beast. It says here in verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy." I'm going to remind you again, we saw in Daniel 7, the beast is not one antichrist, not one king. The beast represents a kingdom. All right, so there's 4 kingdoms that Daniel was shown. We are now under the 4th kingdom yet today. The 4th beast, it says, "The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard." Back in Daniel 7, verse 6, that tells us that the leopard represents Greece. Also notice, "And his feet were as the feet of a bear." This is Medo-Persia in Daniel 7, 5. "And his mouth as the mouth of a lion." Daniel 7, 4, Babylon was represented as a lion. What I want to emphasize is even with the image that King Nebuchadnezzar saw and all of these kingdoms are interrelated with one another. They build on the previous one, but yet they kept getting weaker and weaker with time, with centuries and millennia. Right? So you have Babylon starting as the gold, you know, the gold part of the image and so on. So we have all 3 of these kingdoms coming and merging together into one, this 4th beast. And notice it says, "And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints." And we'll continue on through this chapter in another lesson. But again, I want you to understand that America has an integral part of this global beast. And we'll see very clearly in this passage, it speaks of a global beast. Again, you have the leopard, the bear, the lion in verse 2. As we see here, this conglomeration of all these empires, all these beastly kingdoms. And notice again, very clearly it says, the end of verse 2, "The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." So again, as we see this global kingdom, this global beast, we see that the one who's behind it is the dragon, Satan himself. It's very interesting, in the book of Revelation, there's 13 times there's reference to the dragon. So the book of Revelation very clearly shows us who the power is behind this beast. It is the dragon. In fact, Revelation 12 talks very clearly about this. As we begin, notice verse 1, it says, "There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Being with child, she cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head." I have a book that I'm looking forward to reading, talking about the great red dragon. And guess who? It's not who you would think it's talking about. It's actually talking about the city of London and its financial power and all that. But the 7 crowns upon his heads and so on. Notice his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. As we understand in Scripture, these are angels, the stars of God, the angels of God. And he actually took a third when he rebelled against God. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, let me just pause here and just say, there are some who say, well, dispensationalism is literal interpretation of the book of Revelation. Literal interpretation of prophecy. That is not possible. Notice all of the symbolic language that's used just in this passage and chapter 13. There's symbolic language throughout the book of Revelation. Why? Because God is helping all generations to understand. So let me ask you, how would the first century understand a helicopter? How would the first century understand a plane or a space shuttle or whatever? How would the first century believers understand those kinds of things? So God uses symbolic language so that it applies and they're able to understand throughout all the generations. And again, I want you to be reminded, hereafter, God has been working and giving us understanding for the fulfillment of this for centuries. Again, I want to emphasize that again as we consider this passage. But again, as you think about this dragon, notice it says in verse 9, "The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." So again, we see here this dragon. In fact, notice chapter 16, we see a counterfeit trinity in relation to this dragon. It says in chapter 16, verse 13, "And I saw 3 unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet." So we have this counterfeit Godhead, even as far as he is concerned, this dragon is concerned. Chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. Here we see the beginning of the end for the dragon. Chapter 20, verse 1. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is called the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season." Now, as we go back to chapter 13, I want you to notice again, we see that there's 3 things that the dragon provides to the beast. Again, we're not talking about a 7-year tribulation antichrist. Get that concept out of your minds. Because unless we see it clearly in the book of Revelation, I believe it is error. Notice it says here, that the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So again, as we recognize who this dragon-empowered beastly system is, we see 3 things. First of all, his power. I did a look on that. I don't do a lot of the checking of the Greek, but there's a couple of words that are translated power in the New Testament, Greek words that are translated power. This is dunamis. This is also the same word that's translated power in Acts 1:8. "After that, the Holy Ghost is sent, you shall receive power." So this is essentially dynamic power. All right, so again, we're talking about 2 different words that are used in this one verse here as far as power and authority. So we're talking here about dunamis, and so we see that Satan the dragon has his counterfeit of God's power. So the Holy Spirit has power and will come upon us with power, enabling us to witness and so on. So we see that Satan has a dynamic power for this beast as well. But notice also, second of all, it gives him his seat. The word seat there speaks of a throne. In fact, back in chapter 2, verse 13, we saw this in relation to persecution and another point. Revelation 2, verse 13, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Satan literally will place his throne, spiritually speaking, in a particular place. Now here, it talks about Pergamos. I am convinced, the more I study Scripture, the place that Satan has established, the dragon has established his seat, his throne, is in Rome today. Revelation 17 confirms that for me, and so on, various places. But again, he will establish a place. But also want you to consider this, that back in chapter 13, verse 2, it says that the dragon gave the beast his great authority. Again, we're not talking about one ruler. We're talking about a beastly kingdom, as we saw back in Daniel chapter 7. We're talking about Rome here, this fourth beast. So notice that it says here that he gives him his great authority. So I looked up that word authority, and this is a Greek word. I think it's pronounced exousia. I'm not a Greek scholar, but here's the two words that are normally translated as power in the New Testament. Dunamis, translated as power, and exousia, which is translated power in many cases as well. But here it's called great authority, mega authority. Think about this in relation to the dragon empowering the beast. He's given him his great authority. Now hold your place and notice with me Luke chapter 4. Notice again, it's coming from Satan himself. I want you to see this statement. I've mentioned this before, but I want you to see in this context the statement that Satan makes to Jesus in regard to his power, his great authority. Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. All right, obviously, the temptations of the Lord Jesus. The devil, verse 5, taking him up into an high mountain. Mountain often speaks of kingdoms, because remember, in Daniel 2, it talks about a mountain, a great stone coming and destroying the image that King Nebuchadnezzar saw in his vision, his dream. The devil taking him up into a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Literally, a moment of time. He's showing him all the glory of these kingdoms. The devil said unto him, all this, notice, power will I give thee and the glory of them. For that, notice what he says, that is delivered unto me. Where do you see Jesus saying, Satan, you don't know what you're talking about? Right now, Satan has this power that he can deliver to individuals and to a kingdom. That is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Jesus, again, does not correct him. You don't know what you're talking about, Satan. Notice Satan's condition here, the dragon's condition for this power. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. From the beginning, Lucifer, this is exactly what Lucifer wanted. For people to fall down, for angels to fall down and worship him. I will be like the Most High God. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Again, we see this great power and authority that the dragon, Satan, is able to give. Back in chapter 13 again, we see again this threefold aspect of what the dragon gives. And let me just say this as far as this great power and authority. The United States Constitution divided authority three ways. It's supposed to be this way yet. I don't believe it is anymore. But the executive branch, legislative branch, and the judicial branch, in part, based on Isaiah 33, verse 22, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. I believe our founding fathers recognized and understood no one individual is able to have absolute power and authority without it corrupting them. Again, you think about what Samuel said. Samuel said to Israel, you want a king like the other nations, guess what? He's going to take. He's going to do things for his own benefit. Our founding fathers recognized, and they established it in our Constitution that has been replaced, They recognize that power cannot be centralized in one federal government. That's exactly what Abraham Lincoln established and generations after him. I'm going to tell you what history tells us. I understand, you know, Honest Abe, you know, he prayed all day in the White House and everything. I read a book that was actually pro-Lincoln that said this. It was supportive of Abraham Lincoln. But it was called The Deification of Abraham Lincoln. And in the introduction of that book, that's as far as I got in it, but in the introduction of that book, he says that we have deified Abraham Lincoln to a point where even he and his wife and his closest associates would not recognize him. He was not a Christian. Everyone who knew him recognized him as an atheist to the day he died. It's this rewriting of history. We need to go back beyond the rewriting of history to find out what really has happened in America. Why? Because this rewriting of history has been deceiving us for generations. Now, as far as this power is concerned, this is a contrast. This is the satanic counterfeit to God-ordained power in Romans 13. God is the one who establishes power. Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. I believe this is the dragon counterfeit of what God ordains. God ordained authority, government power, back in Genesis, or authority, I should say, not power, but government responsibility, duties, back in Genesis chapter 9. So we see here this counterfeiting of what the dragon, or counterfeiting of what God has by way of the dragon. Let me just give you some other titles that are given for Satan in Scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. He's called the God, small g, of this world. We're talking about the worship of the dragon by way of the worship of the beast. Ephesians 2:2, he's called the prince of the power of the air. You don't believe that's true? Turn on the radio and try to find some good Christian radio. Even bot radio is not good Christian. Think about this. Satan controls the airwaves. You know, the best thing on the TV is, I guess there is nothing good, smash it. Besides, you don't want a smart TV because they can watch what you're doing in your living room. You do know they're doing that stuff, right? You do not want a smart TV. Oh, yeah, see some of these big screen TVs. Yeah, they're smart TVs. And so when you're connected to the internet, guess what? They can watch everything that's going on in your home. It's happening. We better wake up. The beast is already here. He's also called, Jesus himself called him the prince of the power of the air 3 times in the book of John. To illustrate this, you could look at Daniel chapter 10 as an example. Well, for the sake of time, we've seen that before on a couple of occasions. There it talks about the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece. And I want you to consider that there is a prince in Washington, D.C. There is a prince in London. There is a prince, well, there's Satan and a prince in Rome. And in all these other wicked nations around the world, there is a spiritual battle going on that we cannot see, but God has told us it is taking place. We need to get our heads out of the sand and start understanding the beast is here. We need to get ready for what is coming. We've been so focused on this so-called Antichrist that's coming 7 years after we're raptured out of here, we don't see that the beast has been around for 2,000 years or more. It has been here for 2,000 years. You don't believe me, I'll show you in a moment. Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, that is figurative language, that is not literal language. So again, there's absolutely no way you can say, oh yeah, we believe the literal interpretation. So all those creatures in chapter 9, those were military helicopters. That is symbolic interpretation. Let's see what the Bible actually says. As it were wounded to death. So it was figurative, not literal. So it's not a literal Antichrist who is assassinated. All of a sudden he's raised from the dead by the dragon, by Satan. That's not what this said at all. The beast is a kingdom. We must understand that or we're going to continue to be confused what is happening today in our day. Notice it says one of his heads, one of his rulers, as it were, was wounded to death. And notice his deadly wound was healed And all the world wondered after the beast. So if we're talking about Daniel 7, and again, that's key to understanding this passage. If we're talking about the fourth beast, Rome. What do we see in history? I've told you this before. This is about the fourth beast, Daniel 7, Rome. And again, we have been under the fourth beast now for more than 2,000 years as far as our world is concerned. The Roman Empire fell in 476 A.D. Think about it. History confirms what Jesus says here. In 476 A.D., Rome, the Roman Empire, was destroyed. There was also in history a revived Roman Empire. In fact, I did some checking on the dates of that. But this revived Roman Empire, we're not talking about a tribulation antichrist. We're talking about the Holy Roman Empire, the papacy. Daniel talks about the little horn that rose up out of the fourth beast from the midst of the ten kings, as Rome was divided up into ten kingdoms. The Holy Roman Empire of Europe was also known as the First Reich. I speak my German here. The First Reich was recognized as the Holy Roman Empire of Europe. What are they now talking about? The Fourth Reich. Klaus Schwab. And so on and so forth. They are trying to establish the Fourth Reich. Hitler, was that the Third Reich? It's already been here for hundreds of years, this fourth beast. So notice again what it says here. His deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. The revived Roman Empire is not the European Union that has more than 10 nations. The revived Roman Empire was the most holy empire, Roman Empire. Under the authority and power of the papacy. We need to pay attention. That's the little horn. You study Daniel carefully. That is the little horn that rises up amongst the European nations, in particular, of the divided Roman Empire. And notice again, it says, all the world wondered after the beast. There are nations who have declared themselves Catholic. If they don't declare themselves Catholic, the Roman Pope shows up and declares them Catholic. We have entire nations around our world that are recognized as Roman Catholic. Can I remind you of our history in America? Colonial America. The first ones here were not Protestants. I already told you the history of this. This is unbiased, unedited history dating from the early 1800s. Early America was declared Catholic by the King of France. I don't remember, all of a sudden, forgot the name of the king. But again, literally, more than one occasion, America was declared Catholic by the French, by the Spaniards, and so on. Also, King of England, when he was a Catholic. So our founding as colonies goes back to Roman Catholicism. But here's what's interesting about that. There's a reason why the state of the colony of Maryland had Mary in its name. It was established as a Catholic colony. So see, in all of these things, notice it says verse 4 then. They worshipped the dragon. This is exactly what Lucifer, the devil, wants and has wanted since the beginning of creation. They worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. So they are worshiping the dragon, but notice then also it says they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? I keep saying Satan always, always, always has his counterfeit of God. Why? Because Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. You think about that statement. I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to read a verse from Exodus. Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Listen to Exodus 15:11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? I see very clearly satanic counterfeits of what God demands. Notice verse 13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. We'll talk about the miracles in another lesson. But again, you notice here this satanic counterfeit. But notice they're worshiping the beast in verse 4. I want you to see here 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I showed you this in our prophecy series, but I want you to see this again in this, to just be reminded, because we have said that this is the coming Antichrist that's going to come to power after the rapture and so on. I want you to understand that we have totally missed the wording of what 2 Thessalonians 2 actually says. Notice 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now we talk about this imminent return of Christ, imminent return. Paul said in the first century it was not imminent. Don't think that it's at hand, immediately going to occur. Here's what he says then. Here's why he's challenging them, because they evidently were led astray contrary to the things that they were taught when Paul was there. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. I really believe we have been deceived by many means. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I've shown you in 1 John, the spirit of Antichrist was in the first century. Not the very end. The spirit of Antichrist started, John said, even now it already is at work. In the first century. We're not talking about the last generation. Let no man deceive you. Except they're coming, falling away first. And notice that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, notice this, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, I've shown you this. This is not a rebuilt temple. This is not a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. It doesn't even say Jerusalem. He sitteth in the temple of God. That is not the temple of God, because God destroyed the temple in AD 70 by way of Rome, the Roman military. You do a study, and I've shown you this before, but you do a study throughout the New Testament. The temple of God ye are. About the church. This is an apostate church, Rome, as we understand it now in history. He sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He sits in a so-called church, the Roman Catholic Church, and calls himself God, Holy Father. Do you realize the blasphemy of that? Jesus himself called God Holy Father. This unholy Father dresses like a mama. Think about that. What blasphemy comes out of the Pope's mouth? Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? He told them all about this in the first century. And now ye know what withholdeth, not who. Did you notice that? I'm letting the Bible speak for what it says. Now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Who's going to be revealed in his time? The son of perdition that was just mentioned. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work in the first century. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I've asked you this before in our study in relation to this passage. Can you tell me how it's possible to make the omnipresent Holy Spirit to take him out of the way? How do you take the omnipresent Holy Spirit out of the earth? You can't. He who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Who is that he? Until dispensationalism, you know who everybody thought that was? The Roman Empire, who was holding back the papacy from coming to power. As soon as the Roman Empire was gone, guess what? The papacy had total freedom to go into power. And literally started taking on the same terminology as the Roman emperor had. You understand the term diocese, right? The diocese actually came from the Roman Empire. The papal system established its own kingdom. Back in Revelation 13, this deadly wound was healed. Verse 5, it says, and it was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Right? So he had a mouth that speaks great things. I keep telling you, Donald Trump is a part of the beast. Donald Trump has said he's second to Jesus Christ in the influence. He's not only that, but he saved 100 million lives with his vaccine. Remember, he's the father of the vaccine. I heard this soundbite for that. He kept boasting, "Yeah, we saved 100 million lives, 100 million lives, 100 million lives." No, 100 million lives are going to die because warp speed. Great things, second only to Jesus Christ. Donald Trump is a blasphemer. Amen. Notice it also goes on to say, blasphemy against, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Mouth speaking great things, blasphemies, and so on. I skipped the verse. I was at the verse 5. It says, there was given unto him a great mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Again, papacy saying, calling himself Holy Father. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Not 7 years, you notice. Power was given unto him to continue 42. What in the world is this 42 months? I've shown you this before, but let me just summarize it this way. In Daniel 9, the 70 weeks were how many years? 490 years. 70 weeks times 7 equals 490 years. 42 months, according to the Jewish calendar, would be 1,260 years. Again, you can figure all that out. That's actually what they taught until dispensationalism. I'm not going to reteach all that. But you notice there's absolutely nothing here about 7 years. Yeah, he's going to come to power after the pre-trib rapture, and he's going to do a treaty with Israel, and then there's going to be the Great Tribulation. Again, I've shown you, the Great Tribulation is not a Bible phrase. Great Tribulation is, but there is no such thing as this, the Great Tribulation of three and a half years. Again, we've got to get all of this stuff out of our mind and let the Bible speak for itself. Notice he's going to continue for a short time. We're talking about the revived beast, the papal kingdom. What is very interesting is the First Reich goes back to 800 or 962. There's two different dates that are used. So how much longer do we have to deal with this beast? I'll let you do the math. I'll let you decide that because Jesus said no man knows the day nor the hour. So you add 1,260 years to that, and then you start figuring out the idea of what Jesus is saying here. Verse 6, I skipped ahead on that. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. Mark 3:29 says, he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Notice, to blaspheme his name, God's name, I've told you, I tried listening to Donald Trump's speeches, political speeches. I had to turn them off. I tried listening to Rush Limbaugh. I had to turn him off. Why is it that we as Christians accept God's name taken in vain? And not just taken in vain, but blasphemously used? I just read in the Psalms. It talks about a time when vile men are exalted. We live in that day. Vile men are exalted. Blaspheming his name and his tabernacle. You look at Revelation carefully, we're talking about his heavenly tabernacle. We've already seen at the end of Revelation 11, the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the Ark of his Testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunders and so on. So we've already seen the heavenly tabernacle revealed by God. And notice them that dwell in heaven. So blasphemy. Verse 7. And notice it was given unto him to make war with the saints. This is not just during 7 years of tribulation. This has been happening since the right at the beginning. Jesus warned us that it would take place to make war with the saints. Talking about persecution, notice, and to overcome them. Many, many Christians, in fact, 50 million, they estimate, even at the hands of the persecution of Rome, the Roman Catholic Church. We're not just talking about tribulation saints here. We need to understand the beast has been around for a long time. And notice, power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Notice it's not just Israel. Notice not just, you know, a particular nation. But notice it's a global empire. This is a global beast. Power was given him over all kindreds and tongues. This is the Greek word that we get the word glossary from. These are languages. Not some. This is a literal language, languages all over the world. You know, I think it's very interesting how Google and other websites, you know, international websites and everything, they have these translator things that they do on there so you can translate websites. It's very interesting. All languages. I believe that's how the beast is going to accomplish all this. And nations. All nations. In fact, until all nations come under this beast, they have not realized their accomplishment of their goals. Now, it's very interesting. Let's go back to chapter 12, verse 1. I'll just mention something here just to make sure we have understanding here. Revelation 12, verse 1, I mentioned this. It says, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And again, I've talked about all this in our study in the book of Revelation and as far as prophecy. As far as the woman, this is not national Israel. This is not national Israel. Did you catch what I just said? I'm not saying this is not Israel. This is not national Israel. This is believing Israel. There's a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. Matthew 19, verses 27 and 28, Luke 22, verses 29 and 30, literally said, Jesus tells his disciples, his apostles, that they would rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. So what started with Israel, believing Israel, has continued with also believing Gentiles being added. Listen to Luke 22, verses 29 and 30. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Let me ask you, were the apostles, the original apostles, Jews, Israel, or Gentiles? I don't believe there were Jews. I've already taught you that. They were Israelites indeed. More specifically, Galileans, northern Israel. But here's the point. If Israel and the church are totally distinct from one another, how can the foundation of the apostles be ruling over the nation of Israel, the spiritual Israel, believing Israel, if they are not one and the same? How can the apostles do that? Are they going to be in New Jerusalem and on the earth? Again, there's problems with our interpretations that we have accepted. Notice power is given, again, over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. So we see here that this kingdom is going to have power, literally, given unto the beast to overcome them. Again, many would lose their lives. Can I prepare you for this reality check? American believers may lose their lives. There is absolutely nothing in this Bible that says we will be exempt because we're a part of America. We need to wake up. So as you understand this, all right, so all nations, watch a nation that emphasizes nationalism rather than globalism. Think about what I'm just saying here. Watch a nation that emphasizes nationalism rather than globalism. A coup is coming. Until they destroy the nationalism in those nations, this global empire of all nations will not be realized. That is exactly what has been happening for generations in America. In case you haven't figured it out yet, there's a coup that's going on, and guess what's coming? If all the patterns of all the other nations that have been overthrown is true, there's going to be a genocide coming. Where they're going to start killing white Americans? Oh, wow, it seems like I've already heard that in the news. That they're going to kill any white Americans who refuse the vaccine? Ah, that's already in the news. Here's their methods. Create division. Only two parties? I as mentioned earlier, I'm convinced the Constitution is not what we emphasize in America. Because if that was the case, if the Constitution was truly what our country was following, then the Constitution Party would be the most popular party in America. We have a duopoly. They're on the same team. I forgot. I was meant to have this picture for you. I've told you before about a Jesuit fundraiser that happened in 2016. 2016, just before the presidential election. It shows a Jesuit priest in all his unholy garb. On one hand is Hillary. On the other hand is Donald Trump. They did not look like enemies. In fact, they've been longtime friends. Trump's and Clinton's have been longtime friends. They're on the same team, folks. Donald Trump was an ultra-liberal Democrat until he was used as bait to get, you know, patriots to show their faces. I'm convinced that's what happened. Why did Donald Trump not issue pardons before he left office for those who were arrested or hunted for the January 6th thing? Why did he not do that? And why has the subpoena been dropped for him? This whole J6 thing has been put under wraps for 50 years. Why? Keep watching. Paying attention, because the beast is already here, and the beast rules America. America has already been going through the plan, creating division, this racial division, tribal division. All of this has already taken place in America from the 1860s on. The whole plan is to overthrow the government and replace it with fascism. Oh, 1922, Lincoln Memorial. Fascism is already here. It has been for generations. America is already going through the cleansing process of removing our history from us so we can't see the beast who's already in power. Verse 8, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written. All right, so true believers will not worship him. Whosoever is not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So if you recognize the government as being our answer for everything, then you better check out your salvation. I'm trying to say that as kindly as I can. The beast is not the answer to our problems. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Here's the application. Pay attention, Jesus says. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. The saints will endure. Now, you can pull out your chart now. I'll give you permission. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I want you to see visually. Remember I mentioned, was it last week? Maybe 2 weeks ago. I can't remember. All my weeks are running together. I'm always studying a few weeks ahead, as you understand. And so I forget sometimes when I've taught a lesson. But remember I told you it was on the back of the dollar bill? The all-seeing eye at the top of the pyramid? As far as Britain and the crown is concerned, 1776 was the time when America became a part of. Of course, this was recognized later as far as these banknotes and all that. But you notice again the seeing eye at the top, Satan. I've already mentioned this, the dragon. This is the power behind this, and this is the ultimate pyramid scheme. That's what I'm calling it, the ultimate pyramid scheme. Now, here's what I want to point out as I summarize this pyramid here at the bottom. What I want you to understand is that there is, okay, borrowing from the Wizard of Oz, there is a little man, the beast, the empire, ruler, hiding behind a curtain. We can't see the one who's really behind the power behind all this. But I want you to consider, notice as you go down through, the order of the Illuminati. Oh, there's conspiracy theories. You can deny the Illuminati all you want to. Here's the idea of conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy theory until it's proven that it really is a conspiracy. There is such a thing as an Illuminati. And they call a lot of shots. I told you a week or two ago, you notice off to the left-hand side there, there's three photos, those three pictures of those who have power. Napoleon had his hand hidden in his coat. What is this, right hand? I ask again, how many of you have ever had a portrait taken, men? You pose with your hand hiding inside your coat. That is a symbol so that people secretly can know who's on their team. Ah, here's an interesting one. John Wilkes Booth. John Wilkes Booth has his hand hidden. He was a part of the Illuminati. I'll talk about that later, Lord willing, we'll see. General Tecumseh William, or William Tecumseh Sherman, the one who had a part in burning out the South, and also doing the same things to the Native Americans, Indians, Redskins, whatever the current politically correct term is. All of these men were a part of the Illuminati. And you notice the little statement above there, that was until about 1900 that they used that symbol. The Illuminati is real. And as I mentioned last week, I also read some history where the Illuminati actually took over over Freemasonry, used their network. The Illuminati does not present themselves out front. That's why they have the secret symbols, so that they recognize. Also another symbol, the all-seeing eye of Horus on the other side. Notice there's three examples there of the one-eyed look. These are all wicked people. Wicked people. And notice here, they have one-eyed symbolism that they use. If I remember right, Jay-Z was, at least one time, I don't know, these people marry and get divorced so quickly. I don't know who's married to who. I don't keep track of it. But how do you say her name? Beyonce? Beyonce, whatever. By the way, she sang the Star Spangled Banner for Obama in his second inauguration. Wicked, satanic woman. Bono, Jay-Z, other examples. And you notice also, hook 'em horns. When I started figuring this out, it's like, I don't know if I like the Texas Longhorns symbol. This pyramid, the order of the Illuminati as you move down, the Council of the 13, world's richest subfamilies, used to plan all global operations and agendas. Conspiracy theory. Oh, yeah? Then why do all of these rich individuals gather every year for the World Economic Forum, gather in Davos, all these different places, and they have their yearly meetings to plan what you and I are going to experience in the next 10 years? It's happening right now. The beast is already here. Committee of 300. Some examples are listed here. The world's most powerful people, business owners and political figures and so on. The Order out of Yale. Trilateral Commission. Council on Foreign Relations. Remember, I mentioned the Council on Foreign Relations is related to the Royal Institute of International Affairs. The Bilderbergs. The Group of Oxford. Club of Rome. Club of Rome actually has a map on their website. How they want to divide up the world's nations into 10 subdivisions, 10 kingdoms. They're already talking about this stuff, and they have been for decades. United Nations, Royal Institute of International Affairs, and so on. Notice this is called the Round Table. These are the big shots of the world that are planning things for you and me to experience. World financial control, central banks. We'll talk about this here in relation to digital currencies and so on here, in a couple weeks probably. Central banks related to the Federal Reserve in America. Federal Reserve is not a federal bank. It is a private centralized bank owned by the Rothschilds. Bonds, taxes, interest. I've told you our income tax is an unconstitutional act that was added. It was added in the 16th Amendment. In fact, there's some who say it wasn't even properly ratified. World Bank, International Monetary Fund, Bank of International Settlements, and so on. New York Stock Exchange, and all of those things. That's the financial control of our world. The digital currencies are coming whether we want it or not. But also world resource control. Best Buy, notice Walmart's logo is there. Verizon Mobile. These are the corporate powers around the world. In fact, I think I've read that 10 or 12 corporations own everything. And I think it's BlackRock that even owns all of those corporations, or most of them. There's a world beast that's already in place financially. False religions. Jesus Christ is not permitted in these religions. They pervert scripture. They hide truth. They have works-based, rules-based salvation. Governments. They try to control the courts and laws. The military police is already here, folks. When local police departments that are armed with government-supplied military ammunition shows up in the middle of the night to do an arrest, to act on an arrest warrant. And they shoot people and execute people in their own homes. We have a police state already here. Surveillance. How many of you have your cell phones on? Guess what? They know what I've said. I just got I call it a laptop. It's actually a notebook. And I had to go through and change the programs on it in order to put things on there that I want, like Brave Private Browser, Signal, all of these things. Unless I could, I had to get it from the Microsoft Store. Oh, I don't want what you have in the Microsoft Store. You don't have what I want. It's all controlled. Surveillance. By the way, Israeli companies, do you realize this? Why Israeli companies? So that they can spy on us? Do you realize the new phones? I'm not talking about smartphones. I'm talking about phones. They have technology in them that enable them to surveil, to listen to conversations. Also, computers now have what they call a back door to them, so that they can actually access things on your computer. Surveillance. Finally, torture in prison. January 6th. Patriotic reality. Every video I've seen, no violence. No violence of those who were arrested. In fact, the violent acts came from those who were the ones who were promoting it, who were not arrested. This woman that was sitting at the desk of Nancy Pelosi, she has yet to be arrested, by the way. If I remember right, I saw that she was smoking a cigarette at Nancy Pelosi's desk. She was a plant to get true patriots to come out and reveal themselves. You do know that a lot of these people are rounding up because of pings on their phones. I was told I'm naive. I wish I was. All of this stuff is going on with the beast even now. World population control, monitoring, the news media, even so-called conservative media is controlled. It is controlled. If they're not censored on Facebook, if they're not censored on YouTube and all that, guess what? They're controlled. Anyway, another lesson for another time. All of this stuff. They want to stimulate fear, anxiety, and depression so that they can control people. That's exactly what this whole pandemic was about. We've been manipulated, manipulated, manipulated. Education, they teach lies in our schools to hide the truth. They do not allow God to be taught in schools. And they brainwash our younger generation so that they will accept all of their things that they present to them when they're grown. Technology, internet, Google. Google is a CIA type of operation. Preacher of conspiracy theories. I can't believe we're getting all these conspiracy theories. They're not theories. They have been proven. The CIA says what they do is a theory to try to hide it and also to smear those who want to know the truth. Cell phones, secret technology, drugs. They're actually drugging people to control them. That's now in America. And I want you to notice the base of this pyramid are the enslaved masses. Everyone not directly involved with what I've already just mentioned. Everyone who's not in power. And notice from birth to death, you have brainwashing, labor, taxes, debt, adultery, divorce, addiction, homosexuality, prison, anxiety, depression, fear, death. What is very interesting is that the Egyptian pyramids were built with slave labor, not just from the Israelites, from all nations that they had conquered. Slave labor. That's exactly what we have today. We're slaving for the government. And then they take what they want by way of their income taxes. It's very interesting the way that they kept Rome happy, even though they were under this type of system, is they entertained themselves with circuses, and they provided bread for their needs. And in fact, there were huge amounts. I've read there were huge amounts of grain that were shipped into Rome every day to feed the masses. Bread and circuses kept the multitudes happy. or at least satisfied. What do we have today? We have welfare that takes from the middle class to give to the poor. Here's exactly what our beastly system, the satanic systems of the world, here's exactly what they're trying to do. Totally remove the middle class. So if you don't classify yourself as poor today, then... But can I remind you, that's poor as far as America is concerned. They're not going to look at it that way. Just to kind of drop something on you here. I read one article and glanced at a little bit of it. They're talking about a universal basic income that is not based on our standard of living. It is based on the world's standard of living. When we were going as missionaries to Jamaica, I was told that, like $40 a week or something like that? Yeah, very, very low income for the poor of Jamaica. So when you think about Africa, there are some nations in Africa, some of those people will make the equivalent of $2 a day. So anyway, this universal basic income, global, part of the global system. Think you can live on $1,000 a month? The beast is here. They're already planning it. So what do we have? We have our circuses. In Rome, it was chariot races. So here in America, we have our chariot races. They just drive a little faster than they did in Rome. Driving around circles. Have you ever thought and wondered why NASCAR all of a sudden became really big in America? As part of the entertainment circus system. Those guys are paid millions of dollars. Not only that, but you have fights of the gladiators. We already have the gladiators. They entertain thousands of people in stadiums. America already has a beast. And they're already trying to silence us. As far as the slave labor, Exodus 1:11 says, therefore did they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. We are essentially building cities for the beast as well. Is it any wonder that they're wanting to round us up into cities so they can control us a little bit easier? Let me just mention this as we close. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, and darkness, and rulers of darkness. Think about this. There are spiritual forces at work behind that pyramid. The dragon's not going to show himself. The dragon is not going to show himself up front. He's going to indirectly empower the beast. And everyone's going, oh, who is like unto the beast? And Satan says, I've empowered him. You're worshiping me. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand where we are in America and in our world today. Lord, this is not meant to make us afraid. Lord Jesus, you told us this was coming almost 2,000 years ago. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us understand we need to be prepared and be ready for the things that are coming here in these last days as the beast continues his agenda. The power of the dragon. In Jesus' name, amen.